Welcome back to Aliyah Yomi. Today we're going to be learning Kiseitse Chamishi, the fifth Aliyah in Parshas Kiseitse. The topic of our Aliyah is primarily divorce. It's only six psukim long, ranging from Perek Chof Gimel Chof Ei to Chof Dalet Dalet. So the first couple of psukim actually talk about when you enter the vineyard or the field of your friend, you may take the produce of that field or that vineyard to eat, but you may not cut it with an instrument or put it into your vessels, your containers. Then we hear that when a man will marry a woman and she no longer finds favor in his eyes because of a moral concern, ervas davar, he will write a document of divorce and he will give it to her and she will leave his house. If she goes on to marry somebody else and the second fellow hates her and divorces her or dies, the first husband may not remarry the wife. That's the end of the aliyah. What's called machzir gerushasai, bringing back the woman who was divorced, and the prohibition of that. So a few basics over here. Number one is the first couple psukim about being allowed to pick fruit in other people's fields. How does that work exactly? You're allowed to just walk into anybody's apple orchard and start pulling off. You pay good money for that. Pick your own. So what's the idea over here? Rashi says we're talking about a day laborer, a person who's working in somebody else's field, and therefore they have the rights to eat, but they don't have the right to collect. Rav Hirsch points out that this idea over here is just the type of God society we're trying to create. And the Torah needs to regulate that it needs to be a moral society. If you have workers working all day, it's not meant to be a sweatshop. This, by the way, is such a future thinking idea. It took the rest of society until well after the ramifications of the Industrial Revolution to kind of regulate this back. But the Torah is saying is you have workers, you treat them humanely, and if they're in your fields, they're allowed to eat. They're not allowed to steal and take things and amass and come with a tractor trailer. No, but they are allowed to eat while they are doing. So there's a regulation of kindness at the same time with a protection for the owner as well. That's the balance that all societies are trying to create. Now, in this aliyah, although the primary topic is machzir grushasai, a person who is not allowed to remarry the woman who got married in the middle, it happens to be that a few other details are learnt about in this aliyah, very important and crucial details in Jewish relationships, and that one is kiddushin, marriage, and the other one is gerushin, regular divorce, is learned from this aliyah. Let's focus on both of those for a moment. The Mishnah in kiddushin on the very, very beginning, the first Mishnah tells us that marriage can be officiated in three ways: the keser, b'shtar, or b'bia, by a relationship, by a document, or by some form of valuable giving. And the Gemara goes on to explain that this idea is learnt from our aliyah, and there's a parallel word, ki kach ish isha, a man will marry a woman. And that word is learned from kicha kicha, the similar word bastei Ephron, where Avram Avinu counted out a certain amount of money, gave it to Ephron, who owned the field of Machpelah, and by giving him the money, acquired the field. Now, that does sound a little bit funny, because ultimately what that means is, it sounds like the way that marriage is working is as a relationship of buying. That seems to be a very strange way of framing what marriage is. Why would the Gemara see it? Why would the Torah teach us the notion of marriage from buying property? So there's a lot of very different ways of looking at this. One idea is, Rav Soloveitchik talks about this, is the notion of moving from being a nomad to a farmer. A nomad is a person who has a flock of sheep and takes them wherever they want. Wherever the grass is greener, they go. They don't have any commitment to any place or space station in life. When a person becomes a farmer, which is anthropologically a development in human sophistication, what they do is they have to now commit to a particular part of a place of land. They have to cultivate and invest in it, and when it goes bad, they suffer, and when it goes good, they succeed. But there's a certain sense of commitment, and there's a notion of what's called a spiritual and a emotional nomad and farmer as well. They're people who move from relationship to relationship, getting what they want out of people, and moving on to other grass once they've used them. And marriage is not meant to be that. Marriage is likened to investing in ground, not because we're talking about a monetary investment, but because we're talking about the investment in someone forever, in actually caring about that person for through thick and thin, and not just moving on when one wants to get more pleasure from somebody else. That's what Rav Soloveitchik talks about in terms of investment in place. Another aspect of it as well is that if you think about it, both Ephron and Avram Avinu felt that they got the better end of the deal. Avram Avinu knew that he was getting Ma'aras HaMachpelah, the greatest burial site in all of Jewish and world history. And Ephron felt that he was getting a lot of money. And therefore, marriage is likened to the investment where both sides feel like they're always winning. Just some ideas to think about when it comes to marriage. On the divorce side, it's interesting. It seems to frame it as a mitzvah. Is it a mitzvah to get divorced? So the Sefer Chinuch points out, only if it's warranted. If, God forbid, that there's a situation which calls for divorce, then yes, this is the mitzvah of how it's done. But it's not a mitzvah per se. This is why the way it's framed over here. Now, the actual topic of the Aliyah is what's called machzir grushosai. A person is not allowed to return a woman who is divorced and then remarried in the meantime. What's going on over here? What is the whole point of here? So the Sforna points out that this is it's going to create grounds for immorality, because it sounds like there is an adulterer here. There's somebody who is leaning in this relationship between the husband and the wife, and a divorce is set to enable the adulterer to have that relationship. And what the Torah is saying is, don't enable that relationship, because there's going to be a consequence, there's going to be a penalty for going in that direction. Therefore, with such a high penalty, they'll be very careful about how they're going to work out their marriage, because there is no way back there afterwards if they allow them to split up. There's not going to be a fling and then a return. And Rebbe Bachaya says, quoting Chazal, that this could have been referring to a case of a soita, shenistera. So let's say there's a marriage, and the marriage is not so healthy, and there's the woman is seeing somebody on the side, and she is suspected of being a soita. She has seclusion with another person. In that situation, she can return to her husband unless she goes through the whole process of soita. And therefore, that means to say that the relationship can no longer continue. That would be in the actual parish that we're talking about over here, is after such a situation. Very serious consequences as well. This is therefore seen as a step towards enabling and ensuring a moral society of the highest caliber. With this, we close the fifth Aliyah. In the meantime, have a wonderful, meaningful day.